Stocks are up. Jerome Powell spoke, the Fed chair. Let's see what he got to say. In this episode, I'm going to give you a breakdown live here what Jerome Powell said today as he was being reinstated. You know, President Obama appointed him to the Board of Governors. Then I think Trump made him the Fed chair, and now he got reinstated by President Biden. So without further ado, if y'all haven't done so already, go ahead and make sure.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, this comment, yes, and you. Share button.
I didn't bring it.
So right here, ladies and gentlemen, let's tune in. Let's see what he got to say right now. Let's go ahead, Jerome Powell. I'm going to give you all a breakdown as we walk through this. Let's go.
Is this on? Yes, thank you. I didn't bring any family or friends here today in light of the limited seating circumstances, but I will mention them in my testimony. Thank you. Chairman Brown, Ranking Member Toomey, and other members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. I'd like to thank President Biden for nominating me to serve a second term as chair of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. I would also like to thank my colleagues throughout the Federal Reserve System for their dedication, perseverance, and tireless work on behalf of the American people. Their commitment and expertise were essential to the Fed's response to the COVID-19 crisis and remain vital to the implementation of monetary policy as our economy continues to progress. Particular thanks go to my wife, Alyssa Leonard, and our three children, Susie, Lucy, and Sam. Their love and support make possible everything I do. My five siblings are all watching, or will later claim to have watched. And we are thinking of each other and of our parents today with love and gratitude. 4 years ago, when I sat before this committee, few could have predicted the great challenges that would soon become ours to meet. On the eve of the pandemic.
Now he's getting into how the economy was before the pandemic. Let's listen.
The U.S. economy was enjoying its 11th year of expansion, the longest on record. Unemployment was at 50-year lows, and the economic benefits were reaching those most on the margins. No obvious financial or economic imbalances threatened the ongoing expansion. But this attractive picture turned virtually overnight as the virus swept across the globe.
Now he's getting into, hey, everything was going good within this big expansion. Now here comes the pandemic. Let's see what he got to say.
Contraction was the fastest and deepest on record, but the pain could have been much worse. As the pandemic arrived, our immediate challenge was to stave off a full-scale depression, which would require swift and strong policy actions from across government.
So he was saying in order to stop a depression from happening, they turned around and said, hey, let's just get into this. So they had to say, hey, we had to do some extravagant things that we'd never done before, which I think changed the Federal Reserve forever. Let's see what they said they had to do.
First provided by far the fastest and largest response to any post-war economic downturn.
It was fast.
At the Fed, we used the full range of policy tools at our disposal. We moved quickly to restore vital flows of credit to households, communities, and businesses, and to stabilize the financial system. These collective policy actions, the development and availability of vaccines, and American resilience worked in concert, first to cushion the pandemic's economic blows, and then to spark a historically strong recovery. Today, the economy is expanding at its fastest pace in many years, and the labor market is again strong. As always, challenges remain. Both the individual shutdown and the subsequent reopening of the economy were without precedent. The economy has rapidly gained strength despite the ongoing pandemic, giving rise to persistent supply and demand imbalances and bottlenecks, and to elevated inflation. We know that high inflation exacts a toll, particularly for those less able to meet the higher costs of essentials like food, housing, and transportation. We are strongly committed to achieving our statutory goals of maximum employment and price stability. We will use our tools to support the economy and a strong labor market and to prevent higher inflation from becoming entrenched. We can begin to see that the post-pandemic economy is likely to be different in some respects.
So right now he's saying, hey, we went through the pandemic. This was the fastest drop we ever seen in the market, and they had to do some quick recovery that they never done, a.k.a. he was talking about PPP loans on the low. He was talking about all those stimuluses that they done, you know, those trillions of dollars that we pumped into the market, those child tax credits, all that stuff that they gave us. That is the fastest we have ever seen that. Usually those things take years. This, it took weeks. Congress just let this man do whatever he wanted to do. And that's why you saw the quick recovery turnaround, the fastest drop off in March of 2020. And you seen by the end of the year, we still was up. So shout out to him. But some people say it's going to be a long term payback. But let's see what he got to say.
And the pursuit of our goals will need to take those differences into account. To that end, monetary policy must take a broad and forward looking view, keeping pace with an ever evolving economy. Over the past 4 years, my colleagues and I have continued the work of our predecessors to ensure a strong and resilient financial system. We increased capital and liquidity requirements for the largest banks, and currently capital and...
Now, I don't like when he said we increased the liquidity requirements for capital and largest banks. That's mean that it requires them to have more money on hand. So, you know, I can understand that. To say that, make sure we don't dip into what we had in 08, where we had a liquidity crisis.
Liquidity levels at our largest, most systemically important banks are at multi-decade highs. We worked to improve the public's access to instant payments, intensified our focus and supervisory efforts on evolving threats such as climate change and cyber attacks, and expanded our analysis and monitoring of financial stability. We will remain vigilant about new and emerging threats. We also updated our monetary policy framework, drawing on insights from people and communities across the country to reflect the challenges of conducting policy in an era of persistently low interest rates. Congress has assigned the Federal Reserve important goals and has given us considerable independence in using our tools to achieve them. In our democratic system, that independence comes with responsibility of transparency and clear communication to keep the public informed.
You just heard him say Congress allowed us pretty much to do whatever we want to do. And in return, we must be transparent. So you don't see you see bipartisan with Jerome Powell. The Democrats and Republicans seems to like him. President Trump put him in, President Biden and keeping him in. So shouts out to him for that. Let's see what you got to say.
Formed and enable effective legislative oversight. That duty takes on even greater significance when the Fed must take extraordinary actions in times of crisis. In order to facilitate that transparency and to earn your trust and that of the American people, I have made it a priority to meet regularly and frequently with you and your elected colleagues, and I commit to continuing that practice if I'm confirmed to another term. The Federal Reserve works for all Americans. We know our decisions matter to every person, family, business, and community across the country. I am committed to making those decisions with objectivity, integrity, and impartiality, based on the best available evidence and in the longstanding tradition of monetary policy independence. That pledge lies at the heart of the Fed's mission and is one we all make when we answer the call to public service. I make it here again with force and without reservation. Everything we do at the Federal Reserve is in pursuit of the goals set for us by Congress. I'm honored to have worked in service to those ends since I joined the Fed in 2012 and as chair for the past 4 years.
So now this is the thing I like about him. Brawler's occasion says it's a reason that they're trying to keep him. He says it's a reason they're trying to keep him because they don't want us to go under. Yeah, you'd be crazy right now to remove the federal chair, you know, at a time like this. So my time of watching Jerome Powell and seeing what he does, he's a very methodical guy. He's not going to do anything wild or crazy. He totes that line right in between. He's not very Democratic, but he's not very Republican either. So he kind of plays that bipartisan role where he does some things to help out businesses, but he also liberal at the same time. So, you know, we're going to see interest rates, I don't think, go up immediately. We're going to see that tapering kind of speed up a little bit. Then they will raise interest rates like they projected to do three times this year. Unemployment is at 3.9%, and we're seeing inflation at 6.8%. when the new inflation report comes out, I guarantee you it's over 7%. Guaranteed. But anyway, that's Jerome Powell. He spoke today. Stocks liked what he had to say. Stocks went up. So, you know, that's our Fed chair. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, whatever else crazy y'all see me doing around the globe, my name is Prince Dykes. This is Investor Show. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. And thank you.